The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Total Career Success with Ken and Cheryl Dawson. The mission of this radio show is to enable every listener to achieve their career aspirations and advance their careers, to achieve their potential and meet their financial goals. Now, here are your hosts, Ken and Cheryl Dawson.
Welcome. Ken and Cheryl here, and we're with Ted Hennings, three-time Super Bowl winner and author of Rules of Engagement. Everyone defines success in their own unique way, but we often emphasize power, status, fame, and fortune. Our guest today has all those success measures associated with his name, yet he discovered something was missing from his life and career. Chad Hennings is a successful Air Force fighter pilot, NFL Dallas Cowboys superstar, and successful businessman. Today he will share his unique perspective on the foundation for true success and the rules for engagement in the battle for success in career and life. Stay tuned for an energetic and thought-provoking interview. I'd like to share a little overview of Chad's impressive career. Although he's best known for his role with America's Team, Chad Hennings' successes began long before his professional football career. He's been offered many full scholarships to universities. Instead, he chose to attend the Air Force Academy, where he racked up numerous honors and academically and in football. All-American, Hennings was inducted into the Academic All-American Hall of Fame and College Football Hall of Fame. During his 4 years in the Air Force, he flew 45 missions in support of Operation Provide Comfort in northern Iraq. So he's had an impressive career in the Air Force. After his discharge, he joined the Dallas Cowboys, where he spent his entire 9-year professional football career and retired in 2001 with 3 Super Bowl rings. Chad is president of Hennings Management Corporation and serves the community as a board member of Happy Hill Farm, a home and school for at-risk kids, and as an advisory board member for Christian Community Action. He's active in several veterans initiatives and speaks to both businesses and nonprofits on the topic of commitment. Welcome, Chad. We're excited to have you join us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, your list of accomplishments are more than impressive, Chad, and yet you say in your book, Rules of Engagement, that something was missing in your success. What was that?
The basics was relationships, primarily, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. Up until, as you listed all the accomplishments that I had, you know, I approached pretty much my early adult life of pursuing things and tangible things, whether that was in the cockpit flying jets or whether that was playing for the Dallas Cowboys. But it was through a struggle that I had with the health of my oldest son, Chase, that made me realize that a lot of those things were just temporal. So I started to look at things of significance. What does it mean to be a servant leader? What does it mean to live a life of fulfillment? And as I grew older, as I approached 40, I became very philosophical in looking at, you know, why I did what I did. And I asked myself that question. I basically had an epiphany that, you know, where I derived the most satisfaction from my life and from the things, it was when I had a balance in my life, a balance between, you know, taking care of myself physically to mentally pursuing intellectual pursuits to establishing, maintaining relationships with family, and then also giving back to the community. And by maintaining a balance between those four areas is where I truly found significance in my life. And I realized that it was the relationship piece that was lacking in a lot of this, because we weren't created to John Wayne. We were created to walk beside others, either in personal relationships with our family, our spouse, our kids, or even business relationships. And, you know, that's the main reason why I wrote the book, was to engage with men and try to redefine what it means to be a man in our culture today.
Ted, many of our listeners are not only veterans, and thank you for your service, by the way. I'm a Marine Corps veteran and didn't have the honor of serving in the Air Force or going to the Air Force Academy, but many of our listeners are very interested in what you're saying and basically where you've been and how you got there. If you would, share your thoughts on those today, veterans in particular, who perhaps have left the service or even active military, who are kind of looking at where they are, where they're going, how they're going to get there. They're oftentimes unsure of what it is they want to do. We spend an awful lot of time volunteering with all veterans, active military coming out. We have a number of initiatives going on right now, but our listeners are particularly interested in your thoughts on advice you might give them relative to where they are, where they're going, and how they're going to get there.
Well, first of all, one of the same things that made them a success in the military, that drew them to the military for that serving aspect to serve our country, is the same things that are going to make them a success in the civilian world, in the secular world. It's the whole aspect of, you know, I'm a firm believer in universal truths. What is successful, what is true for one entity or sector is the same across multiple sectors. So it's the aspect of being able to be a part of a team, being able to establish those and maintain those relationships with others, to give of yourself, to attention to detail, all those little intrinsic things that make the military, our U.S. military, the best fighting force in the world today, translate over into other aspects. And what I realized after, you know, like a lot of people today, having had multiple experiences, whether that was in the military, to playing professional athletics, to, you know, being in college in the academic world, to now in the business world in the Dallas area in commercial real estate and doing public speaking and writing books, I realized that we're all created with a specific purpose, with specific strengths and weaknesses and passions. And I encourage people to pursue their passions. It, you know, it doesn't matter what the entity is. And I even dive in deeper and I approach it from a spiritual standpoint. For me, I'm a Christian. And for me, is my purpose is, you know, to worship God and to make His name known. So it doesn't matter what I do as long as I'm pursuing that. And I think that's where a lot of individuals, particularly men in our culture today, with this recent downturn in the economy, they put their whole identity as to who they are in their jobs or the amount of money that they made. That's how they kept score. That's the metrics in which they utilized to see if they were successful or not. But with the downturn in the economy, individuals are either unemployed or not employed. They look at, now who am I? What is my purpose? And that's the reason why I talk about spiritual values being a huge entity in who we are holistically as people.
And in our book, Job Search the Total System, we talk about if you will become part of our system, if you'll work harder, smarter, longer, if you'll do all the things that you're advocating right now, you will have better job, better pay, better life. And we've proven it thousands and thousands of times over, which totally reinforces your message. The key point that you're making is that a male typically is so job-oriented, you ask them who they are, and they tell you what they do.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what the critical need today is, and not only for males generally, but for veterans and all. Let's switch gears for just a second and talk a little bit about your Air Force Academy background. Walk us through that exercise in terms of, I'm sure you have many schools coming after you, and tell us how and why you chose the Air Force Academy.
I chose the Air Force Academy primarily for the education aspect. I grew up on a farm in the east central part of the great state of Iowa, and I grew up with that American work ethic. So I wanted a challenge. I didn't want the typical undergraduate educational experience. I knew I wanted to play college athletics. I knew I wanted to play at a competitive level there, but I also wanted the atypical experience of a higher education in the Air Force Academy. gave me that opportunity to pursue multiple aspects to really overwhelm me at times and overwhelm my fellow classmates with different entities in which we had to accomplish either academically, physically, militarily, character-wise, spiritually, to the point where you had to be able to prioritize and to be able to function with multiple tasks and multiple things being able to be accomplished. And I think that gave me a strong foundation later on for my career as an officer in the Air Force, and then most certainly as a follow-on to my career professionally as a businessman in the Dallas area. But I chose the Air Force Academy, and it was, you know, hindsight, the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Even with my athletic career blossoming as a collegiate athlete, as a college football player, even though I had opportunities to play professionally afterwards, I still served my commitment, which was essential for me to do, and I was very fortunate and very blessed to have been able to do both, to end up flying A-10 Warthogs, flying in a conflict, flying in a peacetime era, as well as then going on and playing professional football for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's great to hear, Chad, and we've had several guests on the shows over the last couple of years, and always am impressed when we hear about the educational experience and the leadership that is taught in our military academies. So congratulations on your experience there. Well, football was your childhood dream, and you were selected for the America's Dream Team. How did you feel about that, and what did you learn in those NFL years about success?
I learned that, you know, for one thing, playing or being able to be a part of our, you know, original America's team, that's our U.S. military. So I had a great foundation about what it meant to be a success and what it meant to be a part of a team, how to work as an individual in the confines of a team. So those experiences I had flying jets in the Air Force translated over into my experience of playing for the Dallas Cowboys. The NFL is truly a microcosm of society where you have all types of personality styles, all types of work ethics, backgrounds, as well as perceptions of reality that people have. So my experience in the Air Force translated in a lot of the successes and the lessons learned there helped me be a part of, you know, America's team. Three of my first 4 years in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys were Super Bowl championship victories.
Amazing.
So I kind of got spoiled as to, you know, what it expectations that we expected to go to the Super Bowl every year and to win, and so did our fan base. But then the reality of how difficult it is to continue to perform at that level as a team sunk in my last few years that I played for the Cowboys, and it made me realize how special those times are when you have those successes and how fleeting at times success is, and you get back to the balance of the basics to get back to that era of what made you a success in the first place, to continue to drive back to those foundational truths that got you there in the first place.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to need to take a little break here, and when we come back, we're going to explore the foundation for true success that Chad is describing. So stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you dissatisfied with your current job or not earning what you need or deserve? If you're looking for a better job with better pay to enjoy a better life, go to BetterJobBetterLife.com and get our 7 free videos that will jumpstart your future starting today. We'll teach you how to create a cycle of success with the right mindset and plan of action. Get the interview you want with a world-class resume. Make your references work for you and beat the competition. Network your way into the hidden job market for better jobs and faster placement. Research more effectively. The key to more job leads, stronger interviews, and higher pay. Turn your interview into an offer-winning performance. Get the money now by negotiating from strength. thousands have successfully used our proven techniques to make their dream job or career a reality. So grab our 7 free videos that will transform your career. Go to betterjobbetterlife.com.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Total Career Success with Ken and Cheryl Dawson. Do you have a question or comment for the hosts about today's show? Please send an email to tcsonair@tcsworldwide.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, Ken and Cheryl, back with Chad Hennings, three-time Super Bowl winner and author of Rules of Engagement. Well, Chad, thank you for sharing such impactful information in the first segment, and I know we have a lot more to cover, but I just want to share with you, as a female, having read your book, that the ladies out there that are listening, it's a book that will relate to you as well, all of the concepts and the messages, and you may want to also share it with your husbands or boyfriends, because it's just extremely well-written, and the lessons are really, as you say, Chad, universal. You mentioned in the book that to the outside world, you appeared as a Superman, yet you did not see yourself that way. How were you able to address the kind of blandness that you describe in your life?
Well, I look back on that in aspects and look at the successes that I had. To address the in the eyes of the world as a Superman. When I was playing for the Cowboys, I am 6'6", and at the time I was 295 pounds. I could bench press over 550 pounds. I could squat over 750 pounds, and I could run a 40 in under 4.8 seconds, which mass times velocity, that's a lot of smash coming at you. But I look at all the successes that I had, from winning Super Bowls to flying jets in combat, that I was missing out on the relationship piece, whether that was self-imposed or whether, for a lot of times it's difficult for men to engage in being transparent and being humble, and at times to admit that we have shortcomings in our lives, that we're not all that we're cracked up to be in regards to the many times the facade that we put out there in our public persona. So when I was struggling, as I alluded to in the earlier segment, with the health of my son, I realized that I couldn't keep up that facade, that I needed to engage and bring what I call wingmen, close personal relationships, and just be able to share with others, individuals, my shortcomings, my failings, my success, my thoughts, in those what I'll call transparent, faith-based, masculine relationships. And to me, that's what brought the blandness, as you alluded to live life more vibrantly and as well as more effectively.
Chad, that's a fascinating statement and series of statements. We, as I mentioned earlier, do an awful lot of volunteering with veterans and people of all levels, those without jobs, those kids, for instance, who have sometimes lost their way or maybe not even have started finding their way. But there are just so many things we all have an obligation, and I call it an obligation. It really is. It's all about giving back. So many people take, but in our opinion, I'm sure you would agree, it's all about giving back and helping others and reaching down and pulling people up and doing all you can to help them. Talk a little bit about your work with at-risk kids, something that we have a huge, huge interest in.
As I'm sure you two are aware, there was a study came out a few years ago that, what derives happiness in individuals? Is it accumulating goods, material things? Is it pursuing self-indulgent things of fame, of running it around in certain peer circles, they found that those were fleeting. Where people derived the most happiness and the most joy in life is when they gave. When they gave of their time, their talent, their treasure to others. That's where we find the most satisfaction in who we are as human beings. And I realized that, you know, again, that's a universal truth. That's what I would call as a rule of engagement. And for me, it was all about establishing a strategic vision for myself as defining who I am. What's my purpose, as I alluded to earlier? And one of my purposes and the reason why I'm here is to be able to give back. I realized the good Lord allowed me to be able to be that fighter pilot, to be that professional football player, not as an end in themselves, but as a means to an end to affect other people's lives. And through my work with at-risk kids in regards to Happy Hill Farm or speaking to other groups of at-risk kids through Boys and Girls Clubs or through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or any endeavor, it's trying to be that positive role model to for others, because I truly believe that we're all role models in some form or fashion, is to give them motivation and hope that, you know, if I can do it, so can you. And that not only translates to at-risk kids, but to, you know, to men too, to give them an identity to try and change their perspective as to who they are as men. And I think that's, again, alluding back to my concept of balance, that is trying to change the dynamic of how we view ourselves as people in our country. It's not about the things, but it's about the things that we do for others.
You know, that so eloquently echoes what we teach as well, Chad, in terms of really being centered not on yourself, but having every aspect of your life centered so that, and balanced, as you say, so that you can focus on others. If you're always concerned about yourself, if you're worrying, if you're out of step with your career, if you're dissatisfied with, you know, various aspects of your life, it's hard to really give back to others, whether it is time, talent, and treasure. And by focusing on many of the things we'll be talking about throughout your book, it helps people to be centered so that they can, instead of being externally focused for all their success, they can have this internal focus and peace as a result.
Exactly. And I go back to a biblical principle that, you know, it says, love others as you love yourself. And you can't reach out and affect others unless, you know, you truly love yourself and how you view yourself. So I'm sure we'll talk about this later in regards to self-help, but there's a lot of individuals out there that do not like themselves and they view themselves in a negative manner, and they can't be effective in helping others or being the servant leader, or being the husband, the mother, the brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousins, grandparent, whatever that might be, effective coworker, until, you know, they're able to look at themselves in a positive manner.
And Chad, we mentioned earlier all we're doing to, you know, help men and help veterans. One of the things that we all need to keep in mind and remember is the critical nature of the spouse as it relates to the military. So many times our heroes are overseas fighting for our country, and their wives, who are oftentimes helping with the kids and doing all they can, are, and many times, the true heroes, because they're the ones that are staying up nights worrying and don't have a lot of control over the situation. Or just the opposite. Oftentimes, the lady of the house is the veteran fighting overseas while the husband is here. And so we need to, at the same time, give so many accolades to women, whether they're spouses of veterans or veterans themselves or active military right now. Your thoughts on that and your experiences?
Again, it goes back to the truth that we were created for relationships. You know, a husband and a wife together, it's a team effort. We're not created to be a single parent family. We weren't created to go it alone. We need balance, and that's one of the things that marriage is about, balance. And I go back to, I heard Oliver North speak one time, and he talked about in World War II, our veterans, for a four-year hitch, were spending up to 6 months actively engaged in combat. In the Korean War, that went up to 9 months. In Vietnam, that was over 13 months for a four-year hitch. engaged in combat. And today's the modern era for a 5-year tour, 60-month hitch or commitment to serve. These guys are engaged up to 48 months in a frontline combat situations. And you talk about stresses and strains, particularly not just on the individual, and we can talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury, but coming back domestically, the Army, I don't know how you could even track the stress on the relationships of trying to reassimilate back into society, into the family, relationship-wise, after undergoing all those stresses. So, you know, the effect that this current conflict is having on our military families, it's incalculable, the amount of devastation just from the strain, both from an economic standpoint as well as a psychological and emotional standpoint. So I do, my hat's off to all the moms and the ladies and the grandparents who are helping keep the home front safe while our troops are deployed downrange and putting themselves into harm's way. It's a tough, tough road to hoe, and that's where we as Americans, if we can help our military families any way possible through our time or talent or treasure, of just helping relieve some of the pressures that are on each family, I think we should do it.
Chad, we, Cheryl and I are very fortunate to have had many, many great people who are veterans over the years. But the gentleman who wrote a book, Bob Bunker, who is just a very dear, valuable friend, former two-star West Point graduate, is a great friend of ours. We're currently talking with him and the Georgia National Guard about working with the National Guard, and he just put us in contact with a one-star here in San Antonio. So we're going to be doing an awful lot with them, but what your point about training on military families is extraordinary. But for one-stars, for a National Guard, it's extraordinary because, you know, a guy goes in and says, well, you know, it's a sharp start and a little extra money. It's not even close to that anymore. These guys are spending 3 or 4 or 5 tours overseas, and it's an extraordinary amount of stress.
Exactly, and unfortunately, a lot of times the Guard units, and as well as the Reserve units, they're used to augment different active duty troops where they don't train together and they deploy together and come home together. A lot of times they go off in ones and twos to help supplement other groups, and these are the guys that many times end up falling through the cracks. And these are the guys that at many times they don't have access to the help that active duty members have, and that's, you know, part of the reason cause too for the increased suicide rates that our military, particularly the U.S. Army, is seeing, and how they're trying to gain control over what can they do to stem the tide of suicide.
We're gonna need to take a break here, Chad. But when we return, we're gonna get a little bit more into the recommendations Chad has in his book. So stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you dissatisfied with your current job or not earning what you need or deserve? If you're looking for a better job with better pay to enjoy a better life, go to BetterJobBetterLife.com and get our 7 free videos that will jumpstart your future starting today. We'll teach you how to create a cycle of success with the right mindset and plan of action. Get the interview you want with a world-class resume. Make your references work for you and beat the competition. Network your way into the hidden job market for better jobs and faster placement. Research more effectively, the key to more job leads, stronger interviews, and higher pay. Turn your interview into an offer-winning performance. Get the money now by negotiating from strength. Thousands have successfully used our proven techniques to make their dream job or career a reality. So grab our 7 free videos that will transform your career. Go to BetterJobBetterLife.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment rising to levels not seen since the Great Depression.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy, and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Total Career Success with Ken and Cheryl Dawson. Do you have a question or comment for the host about today's show? Please send an email to tcsonair@tcsworldwide.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. Ken and Cheryl here with Chad Hennings, and we're talking about the rules of engagement. Well, Chad, your book is just packed full of information that is helpful to someone who is wanting to advance their career as well as improve the impact of their lives on others. And as we talked about in the last segment, I think this would be just a tremendous book to share with those veterans who are returning back from those long stints overseas. And even if it was shared husband and wife together, some of these things would be so tremendously helpful to them as they move forward to reintegrate their lives and their families. I found it really intriguing that in Chapter 1 you talked about legacy. Why is that important to consider as part of your basic training right at the get-go?
Again, you need to set the tone for the book, you know, why we are here. I draw a distinction between wealth and riches. Riches are the material things that we garner in life, you know, the car, the house, the 401k, the retirement. But many times those are fleeting. But what we talk about wealth is our character and our legacy. And I look back and, you know, those are the things that we pass on to our children, to our grandchildren. You know, for me, Chad Hennings, what I pass down to my kids, Chase and Brenna, is what does it mean to be a Hennings? What type of life do you want to lead? How do you want to be remembered? You know, that, I think, is the essence of every man, because we all want to live a life of significance. We all want our lives to count. We want to be a part of something greater than self, whether we know that consciously or if unconsciously. You look back on a lot of the great historical classic literature, like Homer's Iliad with Achilles, as well as Prince Hector. He talked about then living well. How do I want to be remembered? Want to remember from an Achilles standpoint as a great warrior. And I think we as men, we all feel that inner need for legacy. When I read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, when he talked about on your deathbed, look back on your life. Are you satisfied? And when I looked at my life from that perspective, it transformed the way that I make decisions and the way that I view myself and what I'm trying to accomplish in my life, because it is truly about legacy. How do I want to be remembered? And, you know, when you have the opportunity to potentially take shortcuts, or when you have the opportunity to, you may do something that you normally wouldn't do, when you look at your life from that perspective, it makes your decision making so much easier, that if it doesn't fit into who you are as an individual, a particular decision, don't do it. You know, it's the antithesis of the Nike slogan, just do it, but it's on the opposite, just don't do it. So that's, for me, is why I needed to lay that foundation first and foremost, because you need to look at it from the end game coming back, as opposed to, and you can be proactive in the way that you make your decisions.
Chad, speaking of legacies, think about this if you would, and listeners, please consider this and evaluate it. We talk about legacy all the time, and our question to everyone listening is this: what greater legacy could you possibly pass on to your children and grandchildren than teaching them the ability to achieve better job, better pay, better life, which is basically, Chad, all you're talking about? When people learn to achieve better job, better pay, better life, they have it all. They learn to give back. They learn the true meaning of life. But what we don't do and need to do and must do in our society today all over the world is pass that legacy on to future generations, because that's the future of our life. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that by defining, you look back pre to the Industrial Revolution, where I grew up on a farm. I spent countless hours with my father and my grandfather on the farm farming. What it meant, you know, it's like the apprenticeship of spending time with our kids. And I learned vicariously, either through my father, my grandfather's actions, my brothers and myself, and also through his words of passing on the legacy. I was very fortunate. Our family farm has been in our family for over 125 years. And that's important. And I'm passing that on to my kids. But it's spending the time. You know, nowadays we live in such a virtual society that, you know, dads, we've become accustomed to just providing that material livelihood, a good quality of life materially for our kids. But what our kids need, what they need more, is the aspects of teaching them about character, about integrity, about who we are, spiritual values, about what it means to be a good American citizen, what it means to be, you know, individual of faith, what it means to be a successful person, and set a different metrics for them to measure their life's success by, the foundations that you just previously mentioned.
Well, these are such profound concepts that you're sharing, Chad. And, you know, I think of many of the stories that I've heard about children who live, you know, like in Africa and other countries and environments where, you know, there is no material wealth almost to speak of. And yet when they have those relationships, the love in their life, and just the basics of food and water, it's amazing how happy they are. So I think that's a lesson for all Americans who, you know, tend to focus on the materialism as the measure of success, that the things you're talking about can really transform them. And then what I love, too, about what you're saying, Chad, is, you know, the challenge that you came to confront with your son's illness gave you a passion to help at-risk children. And your experience in the military gave you, you know, a brotherly love for the veterans coming back, and now you're engaged in helping them as well. So everyone confronts troubles and challenges in life, and it's going to be a different situation for each. But share with us why healing our past is so important to be able to realize your legacy.
Well, again, I alluded to that previously, is that before you can engage and essentially love your neighbor, you have to be able to love yourself. And a lot of times, due to, you know, I almost make a distinction between the what our soldiers are coming back with, the post-traumatic stress disorder, that some of the issues for depression, day terrors, night terrors, inability to sleep, inability to function, to hold down a job because of some duress or life-changing entity where they were, someone was trying to kill them and or kill one of their friends. They're coming back with these emotions that they can't rationalize because of what they had to do in combat. And I can draw that same analogy to individuals, whether actions that we have done to ourselves or things that have happened not of our own volition. For example, if we had any type of physical abuse as a child that we experienced, there's a lot of individuals that are walking around with quote-unquote PTSD that they have to be able to deal with that. And in dealing with PTSD, particularly for our troops, one of them says the number one cause of our, the number one treatment for that is to talk, to share your experiences, to walk through them, to share them with somebody that, you know, is of like mind, that won't judge you, won't condemn you, and won't, in essence, try to change the way that you're viewing that. And I think that's the same thing that we have to do as individuals. If we have past hurts in our lives, the importance of relationships, we have to be able to share those with somebody that can accept, can affirm, but yet hold us accountable also. So that's a foundation. Before you can affect any change in anybody else's life and to accomplish, you know, what God created you to be, you have to be able to deal with those past hurts.
And the key, Chad, for, and many of our listeners, by the way, have PTSD I personally have what we used to call post-Vietnam syndrome, as my brother does. He's a Vietnam veteran, got shot up twice. And the key is, in many respects, not just seeking out, but having the courage to seek out and reach out. And men, as you know, and especially veterans in many respects, are very singular. They really don't see themselves as someone that reaches out. And it's not a weakness to reach out and be a man. And for those of us who have had that experience, it's doubly important to reach out to those and volunteer to those and get them to see that, reaching out is a manly thing. And what I do personally is ask veterans I work with to do exactly the same thing. It's all about giving back. And those in need, giving back oftentimes is the answer, because they're seeking what is it good for me. But when they find that they're reaching out to others, it helps them deal with that.
Exactly. One of the I've had the honor and the privilege of speaking at different entrepreneurial seminars for veterans, for disabled veterans. And, the statistics show that a lot of these individuals, they don't go to work for a company per se, but they end up being entrepreneurs starting their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And at these conferences, when I'm talking to these veterans, I was amazed that the majority of them gave back by talking to a lot of the young guys coming out today that are dealing with sorts of issues. And it was therapeutic, to your point, where they're sharing of themselves and they're counseling. That's the way they're giving back. And I think it's the warrior-to-warrior mentality to show that it's okay. We have to break that stigma that to be a man, you don't have to John Wayne it. That's not success. You don't stand alone. We're created for relationships, and just what made you a success with your wingman or the guy that shared a foxhole with you or the guy that was your partner when you go into combat, it's those same concepts that are going to make you a success that will get you through any issues that you may be dealing with PTSD. You can't hold it in. You can't internalize it. You can't keep that essence of shame that it takes relationships.
Well, you know, Chad, I really love your Air Force analogies. You talk about the wingmen and their importance in, you know, kind of watching your back and also being helpful in holding you accountable. And then you also talk in the book about the power of cheer flying. Tell us a little bit in the last minute here what that means to you.
Well, cheer flying is kind of going through, when I was going through pilot training and flying, I would sit at a folding chair with a card table, and I would pretend that I would be going through the different cockpit dials as well as buttons to and doing the radio calls and actually flying a mission mentally before I'd ever go out and either do it in a simulator or fly an actual training or a combat mission. And I took that concept to the same thing of going in for a job interview, to going in and before I'd play a football game, I'd visualize myself going through my individual task, whatever that might be. So when I was going through it mentally, many, many times before I'd actually get out there, it was seemed like, you know, I had done this so often, whether I did it physically or not. And that's where I take the concept of chair flying in decision making. I even use it in talking to my kids to encourage them. If you find yourself in a certain situation, what are you going to do when you're maybe at a party with some friends and somebody brings out alcohol and says, let's go hop in a car and let's go drive around? What are you going to do? Don't be reactive thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Think through these things prior to that so you can be proactive, knowing that if I'm in this situation, this is what I do. If A happens, then B. I know you can't necessarily walk through mentally every potential situation, but when you do these things, either socially or for professional purposes or for athletics or whatnot, you're allowing yourself to be able to fly that mission before you actually get off and take the wheels up and actually fly the mission.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and when we get back, we've got more proven ways to succeed. Stay with us.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you dissatisfied with your current job or not earning what you need or deserve? If you're looking for a better job with better pay to enjoy a better life, go to betterjobbetterlife.com and get our 7 free videos that will jumpstart your future starting today. We'll teach you how to create a cycle of success with the right mindset and plan of action. Get the interview you want with a world-class resume. Make your references work for you and beat the competition. Network your way into the hidden job market for better jobs and faster placement. Research more effectively. The key to more job leads, stronger interviews, and higher pay. Turn your interview into an offer-winning performance. Get the money now by negotiating from strength. Thousands have successfully used our proven techniques to make their dream job or career a reality. So grab our 7 free videos that will transform your career. Go to betterjobbetterlife.com.
Go inside the inner workings of the entertainment industry to find out what's next in television, film, and on the web. Listen for Next Stop Hollywood, hosted by entertainment insiders and pop culture junkies Brad Roth and Mark Feldstein. You'll find out how your favorite TV shows and movies are created and marketed, from the conventional to the creative. This fast-moving industry has much more behind the scenes than what you see. No matter how big the screen, Next Stop Hollywood airs live Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Left Coast, 7 p.m. Right Coast on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Total Career Success with Ken and Cheryl Dawson. Do you have a question or comment for the hosts about today's show? Please send an email to tcsonair@tcsworldwide.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. Ken and Cheryl here with Chad Hennings, and we just had just such incredible insights from Rules of Engagement, and we encourage everyone to get a hold of the book. And Chad, we talked in the last segment about the importance of preparation, and that, of course, is one of the top principles that we cover in our book, Job Search: A Total System. And in each step of the process, we talk with our clients about preparing and also integrating those steps. And I see that as you're talking about the rules of engagement, you've also really integrated each part and each aspect of life together. Why is it so important to have that balance and integration?
I firmly believe we are created as holistic beings, mind, body, and spirit. So everything that we do is, the universe is created in balance. You know, and we need to continue to, you know, in my opinion, that's how we strive for success. And that's what the success we measure ourselves by is through balance. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, to be a success is to live a balanced life. It's not he who has the most money in his 401k or he who drives the nicest car is successful. It's he who gives back to the community, he who takes care of himself physically, he who strives to improve himself mentally, and he who has a great relationship with his family. And then, you know, tying that all in through your spiritual values as to for our individual aspects of how we maintain our balance for us specifically.
Well, Chad, we talked about the importance of wingmen, and what do you think is the best way to develop relationships that can qualify as wingmen?
You know, we all have relationships, whether they're, you know, our fishing buddies or bowling buddies, you know, guys that we may go have a beer with, you know, at the sports bar, or high school buddies, or college, but whatever. For me, it's establishing a relationship with somebody as somebody that you have something in common with, and that over time are able to share and to take a risk, to take a chance, to be more transparent. And, you know, you set ground rules that, you know, what's said here stays here. And one of the things that I talk about as men in particular, we're created, you know, in the hierarchical needs that each man has. There's, you know, the need for intimacy, physical intimacy with your spouse, ranks up there, but right below that is the need to be honored, the need to be respected, the need to be a part of an organization. That's why I talk about that we as men, when establishing those relationships, need to be accepted, knowing that, hey, I'm okay. I need to be affirmed that, you know, I don't care what happens in your past. All I care about is going forward. Where are we going to go from here? And then that's where that accountability piece comes in, that, you know, as iron sharpens iron, we need to sharpen one another. And we need to establish those relationships that, you know, hey, if I'm struggling with something, at 2 a.m, that I can call my wingman up and share that. So that's what I think particularly we as men need to strive towards in building those types of relationships.
Dad, I mentioned this a little bit during break, and let me kind of share it with our audience. So many people are interested in hearing the word, listening to what it is we do, and oftentimes we try so hard to give seminars to not only vets but those out of work, and we're always reaching out to help those in a larger setting if possible. Do you think there's a way we could reach out, maybe come together and perhaps reach out to the business community or the sports community and try to get some larger venues to help people?
There's a, you know, my personal belief in a lot of those types of entities is that we're all created unique and as individuals. So I'm more of the tune that we should decentralize, let individuals kind of pick and choose where they need to go and what they need to do, as opposed to a big, large mass movement. And that's why what happens, you know, a demographic on the East Coast is different than the West Coast, is different than in Texas, is different than in Minnesota. And, you know, the truths are the same, but, you know, the cultures are a little bit different. So that's what I'm I think just by the creating of the idea and making resources available, you know, allow the individual to pick and choose what, you know, what they feel is right for them.
Well, you mentioned in your money chapter, Chad, that you know, that's just one aspect of a sound strategy. Well, you certainly have been and had the opportunity to be very successful in your career. What is your view on money and success?
Money is a tool, nothing more, nothing less. That it's an opportunity to generate more income and an opportunity to serve, to provide for your family, but then to give back. You know, not to get on a political tones, but I think that we have gotten away. Our country was built on individual freedoms, and it's not the government's role to be a caretaker for us as individuals, to provide that safety net. I mean, that's where we as individuals, through our churches, through our nonprofits, and us as individuals are to take care of ourselves and those around us and those in need. And that's what money is for. Money is a tool to be utilized either for the good or for the evil. And it's not something that we measure success by, and it's not he who has the most toys wins in the end. It's back to the balance aspect, and money is just a tool in that regard.
Well, and we talk a lot about, and Ken mentioned earlier, about working harder and smarter, and that's certainly an integral part of the job search process that we talk about in the total system. So the value of work is almost a no-brainer. Is our work ethic still alive and well?
I believe it is, but I believe it's because of the virtualization, the advent of the internet, and the advent of technology. It's different. It's different than when I was growing up, and it's different than today. As you do your seminars, and I'm sure you're talking with individuals that years ago, one person would find one job, they'd spend their whole working life in that job, and they'd retire there. You know, now today's kids coming out of college today may change not only jobs but careers up to what is it 10 times in their professional work life. So, you know, the one thing that can be consistent to that is work ethic, and I think we do need a little work on that with the younger generation. But is it their fault? No, I firmly believe it's our fault as parents, as mentors, that we are not laying out and holding kids accountable and teaching them about what it means to have a healthy work ethic. Not to be type A, not to spend 80 hours in the office a week and neglect your family or neglect your community, but it's to maintain work that is balanced. to give back to the community, but yet provide a good day's work for your employer or for your business.
Well, we just have 1 minute here. So share for our listeners where they can get a hold of Rules of Engagement.
You can go to any Amazon.com or any book retailer to get a copy of the book. And if you don't have any of those, you can contact me on my website. That's www.chadhennings.com.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you, Chad, for a very engaging and informative interview today. We wish you the best in all of the initiatives that you're contributing, and we encourage our listening audience to, if you haven't already, found that opportunity in your community to serve and give back to do this, because it will enrich your life at the same time it enriches others. Well, we've got another great program planned for you next week. Remember also to get a hold of our 7 free videos for a better job and better life at www.betterjobbetterlife.com.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Total Career Success with Ken and Cheryl Dawson. Remember to join us again next Monday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.